Pleased to welcome back to the program Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones for kind of an overall COVID-19 update and then maybe some specifics about what's happening here in Quincy. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. Nice to see you. Appreciate you taking the time. I know your guys are straight out there in the health department, so really do appreciate it. Quincy is in the green, right? So how are we doing with the pandemic?
Yeah, so we are in the green. We've been in the green for, I think, a little over a month right now. We're doing okay. We're seeing, you know, last week we saw some spike in cases. One day we had 10 cases, which is a lot for us now. It wasn't a lot for us when we were in the whole surge of the pandemic back when it started. But, you know, our caseload has gone down tremendously. And then we started to see days that we were having a lot. It's probably those high, 10 and 6 case days, probably attributed to the Labor Day weekend with people getting together. And we definitely see a correlation of, you know, groups of people and holidays. We've seen it after every holiday that cases have spiked up a bit. We also have kids back in college. So we are seeing a few, you know, college cases. But all in all, we're doing fairly well. We're still in the green. We're holding our own right now, and we're watching the data very carefully, obviously, because we have public schools back and private schools back in session. So we're looking at that data every day.
For folks who might not understand, what does it actually mean to be in the green? What are the numbers behind that?
Yeah, so if you're in the green, you have less than 4 cases per 100,000 population in a 2-week period. So they average it out. If it's yellow, it's 4 to 8 cases. If it's red, it's over 8 cases. And then there's a white category. The white category is usually saved for cities and towns that have total populations under 50,000. And that's, I think, less than 5 cases in a 2-week period, which is understandable in a smaller community, but probably not attainable in a community of our size at this point. So we're happy to stay in the green and hope that we can do that.
And what actually is a case, Ruth? Is that just a positive test, or is that somebody who actually has COVID-19?
Yeah, so with the map and the color coding that came up from the state, and that's what we're using as part of the data that we're looking at, a case is a confirmed, they're looking at confirmed cases, which is a case that's confirmed positive by a PCR test. And that's the gold standard of testing is the PCR or the molecular tests. There are different types of tests. There's PCR, there's antigen, there's antibody. We don't really do antibodies much anymore. They do the antigen test, which some people refer to as the rapid test. Unfortunately, the antigen tests have a lot of false negatives and false positives. More false negatives and than false positives, but we see a lot of false test results with that, and we usually, those kind of tests, if someone gets a positive antigen, it does not come up as a confirmed case, comes up as a probable case. So the two cases, when we're looking at our total number of cases that we count, that's, and we refer to that as active cases, that's a combination of probable and confirmed cases. That's all the cases that we get coming in that we count as cases. Okay. When someone has a positive antigen test, we recommend they go get a PCR just to verify, because a PCR is a much better test. Confirmed cases today is another part of the data that we report, and that's what the maps go by, and that's only those cases that come in with a positive PCR. Confirmed, and that's what those numbers and those color codings are based on.
So. Yeah. And is a positive case someone who's actually sick or just test positive for the virus?
So they don't necessarily have to be sick. Some of them are asymptomatic. A lot of people are asymptomatic. A positive case means you're infectious at the time. And so that positive case, or what we refer to as active cases, are cases that are currently under isolation, and people get isolation and quarantine kind of confused. Isolation and quarantine are pretty much the same thing as far as doing them, but isolation is somebody who's sick and infectious, and quarantine is someone that may have come in contact with someone who's sick or infectious, and we're waiting to see if they get sick. Okay. So there's a difference in those two categories. But active cases are those that are under isolation, are presently infectious, and we're waiting for their isolation period to stop so we can take them off the active list.
Okay, and the whole idea is containment, right? Is to not let that person spread it to someone who might get sick, possibly very sick.
Absolutely. So, and we see a lot of the newer cases are younger people, are people in their 20s, 30s, under 40, who may not have symptoms at all, or may have very slight symptoms that they're not really paying attention to. They get diagnosed as a positive or confirmed case, but they could bring it home to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, who could get extremely sick. And there are a lot of younger people who have immune system issues, might have a compromised immune system, and they can get really sick. And we have even seen healthy young adults, and it's not frequent, but we have seen it, get really sick, and in some cases be intubated by this, by this virus. So you have to be careful. Even if you don't have symptoms and you find out you're a case, the isolation is so important. If you're a contact to a case and we tell you that you need to quarantine, you need to quarantine. It's important.
I think that is just the most devious part of this whole pandemic. And I think the most difficult part for people to understand, that somebody seemingly fine and healthy can really wreak havoc if they're positive.
Yeah, and just to give you an example of that, without mentioning names or anything, someone goes to, a lot of times if you're going for a procedure like a colonoscopy or a gastroscopy or any minor surgical procedure, and they may have you do a test prior to going in just to make sure you're negative before you go for your procedure and go into the hospital. Someone might go for that test, come back positive, but never had any symptoms. And in a particular case, the person was a food service worker, had household contacts, contacts in a restaurant, other personal contacts. Those contacts can go up to 14, 15 people. And if any one of those become positive, then you start a whole other investigation. And just keep in mind that wedding that was up in Maine that had hundreds of well over 100 people that were considered contacts and had 7 or 8 deaths.
Yes.
One of the people that were at the wedding worked in a nursing home, went to work, and 7 people in that nursing home died. So it can have dire consequences, even if you don't think it might, because it might be a younger person that initially is the case. So.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned watching the numbers because of back to school. How is it going in Quincy?
Actually, Quincy Public Schools has done an amazing job, I've been part of their task force from the beginning. They have worked really hard on plans to get kids back to school as quickly as possible, but to keep kids as safe as possible. Obviously the school committee and the mayor's office, all in working together to get the best plan, the safest plan, and to obviously get kids back to school as quickly as we can. And we're doing well. We have had one case of a student in one of the schools be positive. That student had one contact, but the contact was another student in the same class, but not a contact that was transmission within the classroom. It was transmission outside of the classroom. So we have not had anything that we've seen that's been transmission in the school, even though we've seen some cases and people that have had illnesses and gone home to be tested. So I think all in all, we're doing really well.
What will the policy be? And I say will because I guess it's inevitable that there will be a positive case in a school. What's the procedure?
So the procedure, would be, so in the case that we had in the school just recently of a student, obviously we look at, we do our case investigation. We look at who would be considered close contacts, and that's anybody within 6 feet or less, or actually let's say it this way, less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes is what the Mass Department of Public Health says are the guidelines, and we go by those guidelines. With the strict rules that are put in place with the schools, it's very easy to see if someone did violate those guidelines and who that one person is or that student is. We then figure out the close contacts. The close contacts are sent home and quarantined for 14 days, and we suggest that they get a PCR. Even if they tested negative, they would still have to quarantine for the full 14 days. The case obviously goes into isolation for 10 days, provided that the last 24 hours of that 10-day isolation, they are fever-free with no medication, and their symptoms, if they did have symptoms, are resolving. And so then, the school has a policy of notifying other people in that, parents of other kids in that classroom. And obviously we watch every classroom just to see if there were to be transmission within a classroom, so two students or three students in one classroom. We would figure out, was that in classroom transmission, or if there were multiple teachers in the school that had, we thought was in school transmission. We have the opportunity to contact the Mass Department of Public Health and request their mobile testing unit, which would then, if it was applicable, because there's guidelines that you have to you have to follow. But if it applied to that particular case, they will come in with mobile testing and test even asymptomatic people to make sure it didn't spread more than we had originally thought. And what do we have to do? Do we have to close a classroom? Do we have to close a school? Things like that. So luckily we haven't needed that, and hopefully we never will, but we have that available to us through the Mass Department of Public Health.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's good to know that there is a policy, there's a procedure, there's a plan,
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, speaking of testing, is that still happening? Do you know in Quincy, up at Manatt, I think they were doing it?
The two testing sites, one at Crown Colony, one at Manatt, are still there. We ask if you need to be tested to call them first. Okay. And as far as testing, I'd like to make a plea for people. I understand rapid testing, people get nervous if they think they've been in contact with the case, and they may go to one of the freestanding clinics that do the rapid antigen tests, where you get your test results back in an hour. If you really feel that you need to have that, you should be having a PCR at the same time. Or if you can, if you can wait a day or two and the PCR tests are coming back fairly quickly, we really recommend a PCR, not a rapid test, because the PCR is the gold standard. Again, we're seeing a good number of false negatives and false positives in the antigen test. And so it really is to somebody's advantage to do the PCR. So if you are having symptoms, you're a contact to a case, and we suggest that you go get a test, it should be a PCR test. PCR testing is what Manatt does. And I believe Crown Colony does PCR too. But I know there's lots of freestanding clinics and health centers that do both. Please have a PCR instead of a rapid test. It really is a much more accurate test.
Okay, and again, just a PCR, Ruth, is a definition of that is what?
It's a molecular test as opposed to an antigen. And so it's the nasal swab, it takes about 3 days right now to come back. It's not considered a rapid test. It's the test that we started off with. It's the gold standard. It's much more accurate.
Okay. Are you concerned about a second surge, second wave, as they're saying, over the winter?
Yeah, I think everybody is concerned about that. And, you know, we've seen numbers go way down, and now we're seeing in other parts of the country. You know, every day I get up and watch the news, is another state that's in the red again. And we're concerned about a second wave, and a second wave at the same time that flu season is here. And so, I hope we don't have one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if we did. We are doing our best to get the word out to people to wear your mask and social distance. We cannot let our guard down, especially now. This is the worst time. If you think it's gone, it hasn't. And this is the worst time right now that you should be letting down your guard. Wear a face covering. Wash your hands frequently, social distance. And I know a lot of the guidelines that came out from CDC and state originally were wear a mask when you can't social distance. But honestly, the best protection is wearing a mask and social distancing together and frequent hand washing. It's really, really important. Some people take it lightly, some people ignore it. It's probably the most important three things you can be doing now. I saw something on the news today that if everybody just wore a mask when they're supposed to, or all the time when they're outside, it could save 100,000 lives. So,
really?
Yeah. So, or it's important. It's really important.
A $3 mask.
You get a cloth one and it washes. You utilize it over and over again. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It's just face covering, social distancing, washing your hands. It's important.
And not going out when you're sick, right?
Absolutely. And not going to work when you're sick, not sending your kids to school when they're sick. All those things that we really have to pay attention to, because it does make a difference. Whether you think it does or doesn't, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about how the pandemic is going to impact, annual events here in Quincy and across the country in terms of holidays that are coming up? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many calls I get about events and flea markets and church bazaars. And so it's different this year. Festivals, fairs, parades, large events are not going to be allowed till phase four. So I don't know what that's going to bring, for the city of Quincy. I'm sure we'll look at what phase we're in, if the phases will change before, things like the Christmas parade and other events that are coming up. I know the annual Thanksgiving parade in Plymouth was canceled already. Because we're probably not going to be in phase four by the time those, by the time of Thanksgiving. I would be surprised if we were. But it affects all those events that we have and those events that usually bring large crowds of people together. So we're looking at them, one by one. Mm-hmm. To see what is allowed and what isn't allowed. And obviously, we're not going to violate any of the state guidelines and the governor's orders. Flea markets right now fall under retail. So there's very specific guidelines that people have to follow if they're having a flea market indoor and outdoor. Much different than what you would think and much, much less people. Mm-hmm. Events, indoor events are limited to 25, including staff. Outdoor events are limited to 50, including staff. So it doesn't leave a lot of room for a lot of people, but that's the whole idea of it.
Right.
We don't want a lot of people together right now because that's what can breed the virus. So it's going to be different. We'll see what happens. Yeah. We're also looking and waiting for some more guidance on Halloween and what kind of advisory. I mean, we don't license Halloween here at the health department of the city. Halloween is a holiday that people decide what they're going to do on their own. But we will have some sort of advisory out when it gets closer to Halloween or before Halloween to give people an idea of what they should and should not be doing. And we'll deal with that when we get a little bit more guidance from the State Department of Public Health.
It's, you know, obviously it's something that's on everyone's mind, trying to find some normalcy somewhere. This is a big time for harvest festivals and fall festivals at schools and, you know, all the nonprofit agencies.
And Christmas fairs and Christmas bazaars and things like that. And a lot of them are going to be very different or not be able to run at all.
Yeah. Do you think because of all the precautions, hopefully everyone's taking, that the flu season might be tamped down a bit?
I'm hoping it will. You know, when you're wearing a face covering, if you're wearing the face covering for COVID-19 reasons, but it is also going to help. You know, influenza mm-hmm. is the same thing. It's a droplet infection, just like COVID-19 is. So if you're coughing or sneezing and passing influenza, but you have that mask there, it's going to help. It's not going to hurt, and hopefully it'll stop the spread. On top of that, we are recommending people get their yearly flu shot. You have to get a flu shot every year to be protected because these strains are a little bit different every year. I already got mine.
So it's not too soon.
It's not too soon. I usually go a little bit later, but I think this year, because there may be that many people, much more people going out there to try to get the flu shot, that I wanted to make sure I was covered and I had it done. And I don't know what the days ahead are going to bring for me, where we're going to get so busy. So I figured I'd rather get it a little early and be covered than not be able to get it at all. So yeah. I do advise people getting to get their flu shots this year. Very important.
Any indication about strains yet?
Nothing yet. No, okay. Nothing yet.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else we should touch on today, do you think, Ruth?
I know there's some new regulations that came out the other day on restaurants and retail.
They right.
Some of the regulations. We are, our inspectors here, the health department has been given the task to enforce almost everything. And part of that is all these regulations for retail and for recreation and for restaurants. And so there are some changes. We do have teams of inspectors, our inspectors that go around. We do go out on certain evenings to do some surprise inspections to make sure that they're following what they should be following. We are going out and giving information on the new regulations to the restaurants when we are doing these surprise inspections. Some updates about using the bar, being able to utilize the bar a little bit more to have more people at a table than previously. Some changes in self-serve only in retail stores like a 7-Eleven type thing. And those won't go in effect until Monday. But if people are interested or they didn't know there were some updates, if you go to mass.gov/reopening, and go to sector specific guidelines, the updates are all on mass.gov, as well as all the older updates and all the governor's orders that are in place right now, the travel orders and all that. So.
Yeah, it's a good resource for sure. And I know right on the city website as well, on the homepage, is a link to that too. Yeah.
Right.
I should ask you, I guess, about the election coming up and you know, whether folks should feel safe going out to vote.
Yeah, I think that the city clerk's office and the elections office have done an amazing job with making sure that they're following the specific COVID-19 guidelines for voting, did a great job in the preliminary, and I have all confidence that it will be a safe place because they've done a great job. And there's always the mail-in vote that people, you know, I'll have the city, you know, let the city clerk office and Nicole probably talk about that more in depth because that's their expertise. But I know that they did a great job with the guidelines before, and I have all confidence that they will do a great job again.
Yeah, I know they even went so far as to move one of the polling places at 1,000 Southern Artery just out of safety concern. But nothing
right, yeah. Right, because of the population there. So, I think everybody should get out and vote. Absolutely.
For folks, questions, concerns, Ruth, how do they reach out to you, your department?
So, yeah, they can call the Quincy Health Department. Our main number is, there's two different lines that you'll get our secretaries, and they can either refer you to me or to one of our inspectors. It's 617-376-1273 or 1274. And those are the best lines to call. They're manned all the time, Monday through Friday. They'll be able to refer any calls to the specific person that you want to talk to. All our emails are also on the website. If you go to www.quincyma.gov, click on Health Department, and our emails are all there. Easy to get us through emails because we're always looking at our emails even at home. Sure. Sometimes we are out of the office and not at our phones, but we're always looking at our emails.
All right. Appreciate it, Ruth. Great to talk to you.
You too. You too. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
I'm sure. All right. All right. Thanks again.
Yep. Yeah. Bye-bye.